Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I'm honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. These are entrepreneurs, they are authors, they are speakers, they are small business owners. They might be virtual assistants, web developers, they can be anyone. But they have got great stories to share, and they're really excited to freely share how they've gotten where they are, some of the trips and hazards that they took to get where they are now, and share their wisdom and tips and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome to the show money mindset mentor and business coach, Therese Skelly. Therese works with heart-centered entrepreneurs, what they do, and are ready to grow their businesses in a much easier and more authentic way. And that kind of goes back to the know, like, and trust economy. She blends her background as a psychotherapist, strategist, and business consultant, and masterfully works both the inner game challenges and the outer game tactics. From newer business owners who want to design a business that serves their life, to the already successful entrepreneurs who want to leverage their time and grow their income, she works with individuals like you and me who have a big desire to make a big, big difference in the world. Therese, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being with us. We've tried this before. You couldn't make it one time. You've had an awful lot going on in your life recently, and I'm so glad you're here today.
Me too. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Yeah, this is Therese and Denise 2.0, and I think it's going to be a good one today. So, yeah. Thank you.
Listen, what did I miss? I know that you talk a lot about purpose when we're starting our own business. What the show is all about, what you can bring to the audience. So where would you like to start?
Oh, man. Well, we got 60 minutes, so that's yummy. We can cover a lot of territory. I think, let's see, where do I want to start? It feels to me, Denise, like I know when I started, so my background is, let me just tell you a little bit of my story so you'll get like how I am here and how I kind of earned the right to be here, because I did it with a lot of mistakes and heartaches. And you know how you said, oh, you know, my experts can show you how to cut off the learning curve. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was not that, you know, some of my colleagues are like, oh, I got to my six figures in 11 months. And I'm like, yeah, not me. No. I took the long road there. So I'll share a little bit of my story. Then I'll share the teaching points in it. And then we can just expand on that. So you said, you know, I was a psychotherapist. I have a master's degree in counseling. And I practiced for about 25 years. My undergrad, this will be exciting, I have a criminal justice major, and I actually was a prison guard. Not a lot of your guests probably can say that, right? So I've gone I think I had a thing for being institutionalized, because I worked in corrections, I worked in mental hospitals, I had a thing for people being locked up. I don't know what that is. So the reason I say that in sort of in jest is I was a psychotherapist, and I knew I wanted to do something as my kids got older, so I moved into life coaching. And then I saw this ad, and I was doing pretty good with life coaching. I saw this ad that said business coaches wanted. And here's the first teaching point, okay? There was nothing in my background that should have said, oh, absolutely, that would be the next logical step, right? I had a master's degree in counseling. I had never read a business book. I had never been to a business class. I used to say I thought Excel was a phone company. I had never seen a spreadsheet. I mean, like the least likely person, somebody would say, oh, good God, Trees, you must go. So what happened is I saw this ad, and something in me, Denise, just said, go for it. And I think that's what happens sometimes in the entrepreneurial world. If you've read the, you know, Michael Gerber book, The E-Myth, he calls it the entrepreneurial seizure, where in that moment you're like, oh, I could do that, right?
Right.
Well, follow that is like, oh, crap, what, me? You know what I mean? So to fast forward, I said yes. So I thought, well, I'll just apply. And it was the first time I remember so clearly, I've never had the experience of like the energy pulling me in, because, you know, my brain is going nuts, it makes no logical sense, but I'm like, I will follow this command. It was bizarre, right? So I apply, in 24 hours, I had an interview, I'm hired, and then it's like, oh crap, oh good God. So then we go to point number two, we call that the imposter syndrome, when you wander around saying, I don't have enough. I'm not enough. Like, what? Me? Who? You know? And I really was. I really probably was an imposter because I didn't know what I was doing. But I worked in a coaching company, and I got really, really, really good training, like awesome mentoring and training, and just, wow. I got introduced to some of the greats in the industry, people that are now some of the seven-figure leaders. I was hanging out with them back 10, 12 years ago, right? And that was the coolest part, like just say yes. So that's teaching point number one, because a lot of us have this, I wish I could do that, I want to do that, but then our minds get in the way and we get into this, I'm not enough because, or I can't do it until. Are you following me with this one? Any of your listeners raising their hand going, oh good God, she's talking to me.
I'm standing up, I'm looking out a window and I'm going, how did she know?
I know.
Well,
that's why I want to share the story, because it's every person's story, you know. And so I did that, and I was working in the coaching company for a while, and here's what I say. I say I'm really smart, and I don't like to suck for very long. So I'm like, I gotta learn this stuff. So I dove in, and I learned marketing and branding and copywriting and all the things that a good business coach would know, right? I learned all that, and I was getting pretty good results. But then I had this little disconnect that I absolutely had a hard time selling. The hardest thing for me, and I don't know about you or your people, I know that when you sell yourself as the service, it's a whole different game. Lots of people can
sell. Especially
for women,
don't you think?
Oh, good God, absolutely.
Especially
for women over 40. You know, if you're over 40, it's even a harder thing, because we've not been trained. And that's going to be point. That's the next point. Is what I realized is I had this little, like, today I could call it a chip on my shoulder. See, remember I started the conversation by saying I had just been a therapist, and I just was, and I had this idea that a business coach should have, you know, worked at Motorola or read business books or taken, I had this like, I'm not enough because. Now, none of that was really very conscious until I started trying to sell either for the coaching company I worked with or my own little fledgling coaching business. And I realized is that I couldn't own my value. And so that became the journey for me. And that's kind of one of the huge platforms. I really feel blessed that I got to go in through that journey, because on the other side of it, you know, today, all the things that I didn't know how to do, I didn't know how to own my value. So I didn't know how to talk about what I did in a way that was compelling. I didn't know how to sell in a way that people were like, oh my God, yes, I got to work with you. I didn't know how to talk about my business in a way that would make it differentiated. I didn't know how to put my personality in my business, right? And so all of those things that I didn't have and I didn't get, that's why I say my path was a longer one, but it's kind of like I went through that so you don't have to, hopefully. And so I think those are the main points. You get
and
that
that's
one.
Why
and which,
I,
in which
I
way?
And that's why I bring people, just, you know, that you have to go through this so you can teach others. And this is why I bring people like you on the show.
Yeah,
because where we are now, it looks like it's easy. People go,
exactly.
Oh, look at you. I mean, you've done these marvelous things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you don't know about the times I was sitting under the kitchen table sucking my thumb, do you? I mean, not really, but
yep.
You get the picture.
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
You just want to sit in a corner, rock back and forth, and keen like a wolf. It's not good.
I know.
You have to do what you have to do.
That's the journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's lots of point, you know, just pick a point there. We could talk about owning your value. We could talk about putting your personality in your business. We could talk, I'd like to talk about all of them. But is there one that jumps at you that you want to like start with? Because I think, you know, if people have service-based businesses, these are the fundamentals. And then there's the whole, oh gosh, let's not forget the whole mindset. Good Lord, that's a whole. We could do a day on that one.
Well, the two things that you mentioned, I think, are almost intertwined. I mean, I don't know how you can really separate them out, because it used to be, Therese, when we first started out on the Internet, I don't know about you, I started out in 2000. I mean, you know, I got my computer science degree. I started building little black and white websites because we didn't have GUI, graphical user interface. We didn't have all of the neat bells and whistles that we have now. Social media hadn't even been thought of.
Yeah.
You know, we were just doing what we could do. But as all of this came into play, I realized that you could no longer be the banker with your hand on the back of the leather chair with the banker before you's portrait behind you on the wall. You had to show your personality. And that was the biggest leap for me, because I'm an introvert. I don't want people to know me.
Exactly. You bring up such a good point.
I had to really fight with that. So that's the first thing. So if you'd speak to that, then we'll go to your second one.
Yes. So if you look at the evolution of my branding, the first iteration was me in a black suit, because I thought in order to be a professional, I had to dress the part. Now, notice, that's air quotes, dress the part, okay? And I think if you're a banker, you probably have to dress a little differently. Or, you know, if you're in a courtroom, a lawyer in front of a judge, you might have to dress a little bit differently. There is a standard. So I'm not saying everybody should be wandering around in flip-flops, that is my footwear of choice living in Arizona. But I think we have this, who I am is not enough, right? And so whenever you start out from a place of I'm not enough, then you're going to compensate. So, and I really didn't know. You know, back in the day, I started around the same time as you did. I went to coaching school in 2001. Back in those days, there wasn't the book of faces. You know, there wasn't all this stuff where we see all the everything changing. Everything's so different now. So it made sense, like, well, wear a black suit. I felt like it was a monkey suit. I'm like, who the hell is this? This is not even me. But I thought I had to put on a role.
It's in the corner of my closet. It really, I kept it just to remind me that that's not the authentic me.
Yeah.
I look good. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't me. It was too buttoned up and too,
exactly,
too formal.
Exactly.
It just wasn't me.
Yeah.
I wasn't comfortable.
Good. And that's the most important thing. And so what I've discovered along the way, like when I first, you know, back in 2008, when I was like, okay, I'm going to start my own, because I'd worked in coaching companies for a few years and I was going to do my own. And I really, Denise, I really, really, really wanted to talk about mindset, but I didn't have the courage. I wanted to be my sassy self because I'm kind of reverent and irreverent. I'll swear and pray in the same sentence. It's like a beautiful blend. But I was so afraid of showing those parts of me. I was afraid to say, you know, God, or I go to church, or swear, or, you know, I was afraid to reveal. And I kind of made the decision early on, I'll stick with safe. Marketing back then was selling. I came out as a marketing coach. So marketing was selling. That's safe. People understand what marketing is, and I could hide behind that a little bit. And it's the journey, and this is what I do with my clients. It's like, okay, here's where you are. That's cool and all, but where's more of you? Like, every single client I get, what I do is I go to their about page, and it's usually stuffy third person, wah, wah. You know what I mean? It's just like, Jane has this degree, and she... And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in the marketplace. I think, and that's the old style, old school, third person, stuffy credentials. And the challenge is you sound like everybody else. So I'm going to talk about new school.
It's boring. It's very boring.
And it's boring.
I mean,
it's boring.
People assume that if you've attained the position that you have attained, that you've got something going on in the background. But they don't need to be hit with degree after degree after degree. I don't think.
But again, so some people just don't know. Some people are, like you said, I work with a lot of introverts, and this is what you said. I don't want people to know, like, why do I have to tell them what I had for dinner on social media? You know what I mean? Like, my introverts have a much harder time. So there's one story that I want to share that is so classic. And what I will say is after the economy crashed, and those of us who stuck it out, basically, what's happening now is people want real. They're tired of the bullshit. They're tired of the false. They're tired. What's being craved in the marketplace? Is that a word, being craved? Oh, good Lord. I've not had enough coffee yet. What people want is
connection. I understood you, so keep on going.
Thank you. Thank you. They want connection. They want to know. What I always say is, if there are 100 of you, like if there's 100 web designers in the room, y'all are selling the same thing. Y'all are going to get me, at the end of the day, a website. So the product, the commodity, the transaction is the same. How do you differentiate yourself? Like, do you see what I mean? And most people can't answer that.
How you present the value proposition to them. It's not about you, right? It's about what you can do for them.
Yes,
and. Or am I wrong? Okay.
Well, I'll never tell you wrong, but I'm going in a different direction. What I say is, you know, if there's 100 web designers in the room, as a consumer, how in the world am I supposed to sort through? Because you all do roughly the same thing. Let's say your prices are roughly, you know, within a range. Y'all have probably the most, you know, I mean, with variations, and I'm not diminishing, but I'm saying as a consumer, I don't know how to pick because most marketing looks the same, most ads look the same, everybody's saying the same thing. What will differentiate you is your personality. And especially if you have a woman audience, a female buying audience, like Denise, if you tell me, you know, I have two kids and I have a dog, and I'll be like, really? Me too. Oh, my God. Really? And you like red wine? Oh, sister, I'm hiring you. And that's how people make their decisions.
I have a
and
black
cat. And
yet we
don't. Black, okay, I'm hiring you. But my point, though, is, when all things are the same, a website is a tangible. When you're selling something like energy healing or more intangible, it's even harder to, like, I don't really know. You know, I work with a lot of people like naturopaths and you know, holistic practitioners. They have all these technologies and these processes. The consumers have no idea what they are. So it's even harder because they want to trot out all their, you know, I do peony balancing and five element blah, and nobody knows what that is. And so the most important thing is, what are you putting out there that somebody can hook on and say, wow, either she's overcome something that I'm struggling with. Like, I share my story of struggling. I went through a bankruptcy. I've lost my house, lost my car. I mean, I've hit the skids with this stuff. And on the other side of it, I have a six-figure business. I'm doing well. I understand that. But I didn't used to share that story. Well, it happened in 2010. But when that happened, I had so much shame about it until I heard people say, no, if I knew you went through that, I could feel like I could relate to you. Now, some people might say, well, if you went through bankruptcy, screw you. I would never hire you. Well, they're not my people. My people are the ones that want connection. So it's usually the things about you. So it could be either what you've overcome. So I love, and again, when you're thinking putting yourself out in the world here, you're not gonna like, oh my God, I got all five or all four. There's usually one or two that are powerful. So for me, it's a lot of the overcoming story. I've been there. I've struggled. I know what it feels like to dot 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 dot. So people can say, wow, she would understand. She'd have compassion. There's another angle, and that's, you know, some of your quirks. What have you done that's like pretty cool? One of my clients, she was a lawyer and she's a rapper. I think that's so flipping cool. She's like this adorable white girl that's a rapper. And so I'm like, rap, go rap, honey, go put that on your page. You know what I mean? Because some people would find that blend just fascinating. Sometimes it could be what just pisses you off, what just makes you so mad about the rest of the people in your industry. So you're taking a stance. So you're like, I am not a blueprint. You will never get a blueprint from me. I do not believe in blueprints. I'm going to customize everything. I take a stand. So those are some places, Denise, that you can start to put out a little bit more of you beyond, like when you say value proposition, that's the, but of course, because we all have to have that. So it's beyond the value proposition. So I can, in that sea of sameness, and I could say like 100 web designers, I'm like, I love Denise's vibe. She's funny. She's cool. She's got. That's who I want to pick. Now, obviously, then you have to back it up with your credentials and your experience.
Exactly.
But it's leading with personality. Does that make sense?
It really does. And that's honestly how I close almost all of my deals. People, I listen to them. You know, I consult with my potential clients. And mm-hmm. when we're done, they're like, how do I work with you? I mean, how do I work with you? Because I've dug so deep into what it is that they want, not what I think
mm-hmm.
they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
really where my kind of value proposition comes from. But I'll be honest with you, I don't work with just everybody. I don't take on everybody that asks. I have to like
yeah.
you.
Good. Yeah,
and
there
I think
we go.
That's important in these businesses today, especially online. You have to really, you have to work deeply with people, and you've got to like and respect them.
Well, if you want to enjoy your business,
yeah,
yeah. you don't have to.
You come up with a good
kind of
product
if you don't.
yeah,
it does.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
So, what do you tell people who? I mean, I'm an introvert. No question about mm-hmm. it. I'm not shy, mm-hmm. not even close mm-hmm. to shy. I'm just an introvert. I'm a loner.
Yeah.
So it is difficult for me. I mean, if you go on my Facebook page, as you know, you're going to see stories about my little terrorist black cat
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
is woefully inappropriately named. He is the vicar. He does not take his holy order seriously, and he is the bane
mm-hmm.
of my existence. But you know all about him.
mm-hmm.
But
that's
it's
okay.
difficult
you're still
for people
something.
Like... Right. It's
yeah.
difficult for people like me who do not share. We don't want to share. It's... My front door is locked and closed for a reason. So what
yeah.
do you tell people like me?
Yeah, and that's a great question. That is a really good question. You know, and so here's where I go a little, you know, my clients call me Mama T. And sometimes Mama T's going to love you up, and sometimes Mama T's going to kick you in the butt. And so there's a place of honoring, because an introvert, there is, you know, the fundamental, I've studied a lot like the Myers-Briggs and all that. There's, with an introversion, there is a less sense of safety. An extrovert can be like, oh, good God, I had the best sex last night. Blah! You know what I mean? An extrovert can kind of go the other way and be
right.
like, whoa, too much information. An introvert, they keep it closer. Now, I'm sure with your close friends or your family, you could be wild and gregarious and tell anything and everything. But in the social domain,
right,
it's a little bit different. So what I say is, A, honor that, and B, get over it a little bit. So... you know,
no,
and you have to
no,
decide.
No, don't want to. No.
No. But hold on. What I'm saying is you share about your cat, so you are putting, that's what I'm saying, you got over it, so you're not sitting there going, nobody gets to see my face. You are putting about the cat, so they're seeing the personality, they're seeing a quirkiness, they're seeing your sense of humor that comes through vis-a-vis the cat. And so that's when you got over it enough that you are out there that people could have some connection with you. You don't want to be so guarded that people go, I don't really get her. Do you know what I mean? You have to have something showing.
Exactly. And you know, it took me a while to get to that point. Now I'm perfectly comfortable with it. But I have found, and maybe you have too, that people who work online as I do and as you do to
mm-hmm.
some extent, I have found that the preponderance of we are introverts. I mean, and I ask everybody, are you an introvert? Oh, yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm,
it's just
mm-hmm.
most of us are introverted people, which I find interesting, and I'm not sure I understand the psychology behind it.
Well, I'm pretty extroverted, but I have, in the Myers-Briggs scales, there's another scale that is extroverted with intimacy versus extroverted with gregariousness. And I could sit at a party and just be in a corner with one person going deep all day just because I like to go deep. But I have extroverted energy. And I barely leave my house because I just like to work in my pajamas. And so it's, no, you know what it is? I think it's a very controlled connection. If you go to a networking meeting, like for example, I have clients that they would go to a live event and they would get shamed. They'd be like, okay, come on, everybody stand up and let's dance. We're going to dance around the room. And the introverts are like gasping. They're like trying to go to the back mm-hmm. wall. And some well-meaning, trying to bring them as a part of the group is like, come on, what's wrong with you? Get in the front. You know,
yeah.
For an introvert,
yeah.
that can be terror. And so I think the internet space, you can control it, right? You can go in, participate, pop
well,
out. You
sense.
Can show what you want.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That does make sense.
You know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
yeah. Well, let me tell you one of my stories. And maybe you could, so see if you could do this, okay? Because if you were my client, I would challenge you just a little smidge more. I would find with you a space that you could say, okay, it's a little, maybe a little uncomfortable, but I'm willing to play. Not so uncomfortable that I'm bleeding, but just, you know what I mean, just a little. So let me tell you this story. And I think she was introverted. I had a client who was a home stager, and she was working with me to do a postcard campaign. So she did a campaign, and I said, well, hold on, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm driving people back to my website. And I'm like, well, let me look at your about page, because that's what I do. And her about had the, you know, Jennifer has this credential and this designate, you know, wah, 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 boring, 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 boring. And I said, and I'm super intuitive, and I don't even know how this came about, but I said, Jennifer, was there a time, like, where you, like, I don't know, where, like, when you were in kindergarten and you were organizing, like, you know, I was trying to find something that would be the thread for I've done this my whole life. And she said, that's so funny that you say that. Because when I was in first grade, I marched into the kindergarten class, and I just yelled at the whole class because all the shoes were not organized. And she said, I made them all organize their little shoe cubbies. I said, okay, that's what I want you to put on your about page. And the story was, I've been organizing and staging, and I've been doing this my whole life. I was made to do this. And I said, and better yet, if you have a picture of that little kindergarten you, put that there. So her about page was that story.
Perfect.
Yeah, so it was that story. And then we led following the, and by the way, she's got this designation. Then we followed it with the credentials. We led with the story. The results she got were insane. She got so many calls. She actually said, I got 3 clients, and they said to her, the reason I'm calling you is because of that story. So that's an example. Right. You don't have to put something that's, like, you know, revealing and horrible. You could put something adorable. You could, do you see what I mean? But it's just, because think about a home stager. Somebody's going to come in. They're going to move my furniture. They're going to make my house pretty. I always say, if there's 100 of you, what's different? And so when I say to you, Denise, could you find something like that that's like a little part of your history, a little quirk? See what I mean? So it's a share, but it's not a way that's like, oh, God, that's too revealing. I don't feel safe anymore. See what I mean? That's an example of leaning in a little bit more.
I'm already rewriting my about page in my head.
So okay, send it to
quiet,
me.
It's because I'm
I'll
thinking.
Fluff it for you. I will be like,
I
know, I said to my clients,
for you too.
I'm like, we got to make it sexy. Come on. But that's a way for an introvert. You know, when I was a therapist, I had the most shy client ever. God bless this woman. She could not even, she sat across from, you know, on the couch. She couldn't even look me in the eyes. Like, she held her head down the whole session. Guess what her job was? Back in the day, she was an aerobics instructor.
No.
I was like, Kim, how do you do that? And she said, when I put the leotard, back in those days it were leotards, she said, when I put the leotards on, it's not me anymore. I am my role. So that's another way for introverts. In social media, there's that space of, oh, this is my social media stuff. And I'm not saying to be disingenuous, but for an introvert, there's that thing they call situational extroversion. I'm going to be out. I'm going to be sharing. And there's a lot of introverts that can get up on stage and rock it. They can speak there. Like, I'll bet you, Denise, you're like, you know, there's.
Yeah,
but
I can.
It's a little bit
can,
of a role.
But once I'm done, I have to leave. I'm done.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's okay.
I can't
and
socialize.
That's a way introverts,
I must go.
That's okay. That's the way introverts honor themselves, right? So there's ways around it, but that's so important. So be looking at. So here's my questions. What have you overcome that people. Now, I say it needs to be. You can't just go, I'm in the middle of a divorce and that bastard is taking blah, 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 blah. You can't go there. You know what I mean? It has to be historical, meaning what are the lessons that you've learned that are applicable to your clients? Or how has going through that brought about qualities in you or characteristics in you that your clients would be like, wow, I want a woman that could, or I wanted a person that could be wow. To me. So maybe you survived cancer, or maybe you know, we were married to a drug addict and got out of that, or maybe you went bankrupt, or maybe you had a sick child, or maybe you moved 97 times. What is in there? There's a story in there somewhere that you could go, because I did this, I got this. Or because I did this, you don't have to do that. See what I mean? So that's one place. Another place is, what's pretty cool about you? What's cool? Like, I'm sure
everything.
If I could interview you.
I'm way cool.
I know, see? So you could highlight the coolness factor. You don't have to highlight the vulnerability factor, but you could highlight, I just do cool stuff. Now, introverts are going to go, who cares? Why would somebody want to know that? But again, if I'm dating you, you know, building a business relationship is like courting and dating. You're not going to just go, hi, I'm Amy. Do you want to sleep with me the first date? You have to kind of go, can we have coffee? Let's have coffee before you take your clothes off, right? So it really is about putting little parts of yourself out for somebody to kind of get a sense of you so you can choose what feels
right.
safe.
And that
so
does make
overcoming.
Sense. And, right, and that's how I've always handled my social media because I knew I had to. I knew
you
I had
to. That's what I'm saying.
You know,
when I say get over it, you got to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I do that. But let me interrupt you for just a second before you finish with your thoughts there. We have another famous introvert in the chat room, and he says, I love red wine, cats, and long romantic walks to the bank.
He's my kind of man. Yay!
I bet you know him, too.
Right on, right on. Good, good, good. That's adorable.
Okay.
See, like,
so
if you put that on
thought.
Social media, people are going to, that's good. That's an example
exactly.
of how an introvert can use kind of quirky, funny humor to get noticed. It's all about getting noticed. And you wouldn't want to get noticed for how am I different? How do I stand out? That's great.
Well, I bet you
that.
It shows up on Facebook. I will be checking in a little bit. So I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your thoughts because you had those points you wanted to cover, and I interrupted. I'm so sorry.
No, I love this. So there's to put your personality, there's the overcoming angle. There's the what's cool about you angle. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Most of us, the stuff that we do, we don't think that's cool. We're like, doesn't everybody? No. Even if it's weird. Like when I did this inventory, this is really funny. I thought it was kind of cool that I was getting colonics. Because not everybody gets colonics. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
I don't know that I put that on social media or on my website. But I did an inventory. Like one of my assignments for my clients is write down what's cool about you. What people would say, well, that's cool or interesting or quirky. So, you know, not everything's going to be like social media approved. But you're not going to be, like, if you jump out of planes regularly, you're going to go, oh, it's no big deal. I'm sitting here on the ground going, oh, good Lord, that shows to me that you're a person that's adventuresome, that is, like, got this energy. But, like, see what I mean? So the things that you might not think are cool, somebody else will. So you might want to ask. So there's overcoming,
right.
What's cool. There's the what pisses you off. That's a beautiful distinction. And I think sometimes we don't even know until we ask these questions. So what does the rest of your industry do? I'll ask you. You help people run their online business.
Don't get me started, seriously.
No, but that's good. See, this is good. What do you think about your competitors? What do they do that pisses you off? And I use that word because it's a sassy word, right? I want the irritant of like, ugh!
It is. Well, in the virtual assistance industry, as you probably are well aware, it's wide open. It's been exploding for a long time. There's no real standards that I can find. There's no best and highest use documents that I can find. And so many people are coming into this industry who don't, and I'm just going to say it on the radio, don't know their ass from hot rock. They don't. And they're making it very difficult, not just for the rest of us who are very, very good at what we do, but they're making it miserable for their clients.
Beautiful.
And it just drives me crazy.
Beautiful. So, see, I want to hear that from you. I would love that. That's you're probably not going to do a video saying that as an introvert.
No,
but that's an example.
But I'm writing a series of articles about it because I've just about had enough.
Beautiful.
I really have.
Beautiful. Yeah, see, when you find the what pisses you off, you need to, so then the next question is, what then take a stand. These two are kind of connected to each other. So you're going to take a stand for, you know, you don't even know who you're getting. Or you don't know, you know, was your person trained? What's the standard? Like, so you have a stand for this industry is being polluted with poorly trained, maybe unethical. I don't know where you're going with that, but, you know, and I'm standing that no business owner should have to suffer from that. See what I mean? Do you see how those two kind of go together?
Yeah, they do. And what a lot of new VAs don't understand is that they are small business owners. They are not employees. They're not waiting at the end of their keyboard for instructions because the clients don't know what to tell them.
Exactly.
It's a horrible situation. It really is.
But see, you're getting fired up now.
I am.
So, there we go. But you see, you feel that's the difference. Like I listened to your intro, and it was good, but this for me is more compelling because there's fire in your belly now. There's like, right. Rah! So I want to hire a person with fire. I want to hire a person that is like, I'm calling bullshit on some of these practices, and taking a stand for also not just the business owners, but the VAs. So that to me, so if you could pull a little bit more of that passion through, and so I love that you're writing that series. That's like right on. Good for you.
Yeah.
But do you see how personality isn't just sharing details, it's also sharing your passions, your dislikes, your quirks, your, do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, as
an introvert, can you do it?
Oh, all the time. I don't want to have to go to a party or sit, you know, with a wine glass in my hand. I would rather be stabbed in the eye. I can't do it. Yeah,
and you
I'm
don't
the person
have...
at the back of, you know, I go to midnight mass and I go to Easter mass. I'm not Catholic, but I go to masses because I think they're beautiful. But
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
the person at the back by the double doors with my keys in my hand, and the minute they say, turn to your right, shake hands,
bye.
They see my fanny and elbows, I'm out the door. I'm gone.
Well, you know, so I would play that up if I'm just coaching here, which you didn't give me permission, but I would say,
go for it.
Play it up. Just say, you know, like I have one of my clients, she was a marketer, and she's an extreme introvert. And I'm like, market to introverts because they're getting beat, you know, because they're like, oh, to live events, book speaking gigs, blah, you know, there's so much that is designed for the extroverted person. So play that up. I would play that up.
Yeah. And I do. Listen, I had one of my very first business coaches, lovely lady, really had a great deal of admiration and respect for her. She did not understand me at all. I mean, she kept saying, join a book club. What do you do that you enjoy? And I would tell her, reading, gardening. She said, but those are individual pursuits. Yes, they are. And she never could. She kept saying, would you go to a movie with someone? No, not really. Yeah, for one thing, I don't like movies. For another thing, why would I waste that time? I can be building a website. For me, building a website is Disneyland. That's fun.
No, but you know what? You classic, there we go. See, she couldn't see you. And she was working from a formula. She was working from, you know, and I'm not, this is no disrespect for her. But
no,
the
she's
goal
a lovely
is,
woman, but she didn't understand
the goal
me.
Is, yeah, right. And I really understand introverts. I was on a stage as a speaker one time, and there was like six speakers. And I am an extrovert, but the host was saying, you know, you have to network. Everybody has to go out. You have to do local networking. And I raised my hand and I said, you know, I have a six-figure business, and I never leave my house. So I've built everything online. I respectfully disagree with you, and I'm very sociable, but I don't find networking. That doesn't serve me, right? So it's that's another one, is you build a business based on what works for your energy. And so, you know, you're probably doing really well with your cat. Not going to movies.
Multiple cats.
It's totally fine. There's no, that's what my clients love about me. They're like, you probably better than anybody give permission. And I do. I'm just enough of a hippie rebel. My top values are being boldly, like really self-expressed in whatever way that is. You know, I will never tell anybody you have to do it this way. You have to. That's why, like, no. So I love that we're having this conversation because this is part of the journey. If you're with a business coach, ask them. If you're looking for a business coach, say, you know, what's your idea about me being individualized? What are you going to, like, how are we going to do that? And what if I don't want to go speaking? What if I don't want to, how do you handle that? Like, those are great questions to vet anybody that you work with.
Exactly. And listen, when I first started out, you know, everybody, well, not when I first started out, you know, later on when social media came along and YouTube came along, and what was that other thing that came before YouTube and is the music?
There's
place.
MySpace. Was it MySpace?
MySpace. Yeah. I didn't bother. But, you know, everybody said, oh, you've got to, you know, you have to be on video and you have to put your picture out there. No, I don't. And I never have. And I never will.
Mm.
But I think because I refused to do it very early on, I can get by with it now. But I really do think that if you tried to get by with what I've done now, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But it's kind of my shtick.
Probably not.
People are like, oh, okay, you know, come on, tell me what you look like. No. Yeah. But I, you know, I have a severe camera phobia. I really do. And I can point back to when I was 5 years old. I know when it happened. I know how angry I was
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just not interested in putting my picture or my privacy
yeah.
out there. But what works for me is not going to work for most people right now. And I fully understand that.
But you know what?
But
if
I've gotten
would,
by with
if you
it.
Would become... If you would want to become the queen of the introverts, you could become the queen. You really could. You could say you're going
yeah.
to go to another service, and you're gonna, like, if you wanted to capitalize on that, because you understand, I understand them, but not in a way of living it directly. So I'm very compassionate, but you live it directly, and so
I live
just,
it. Right.
just it's you know, I would put that out there, part of the brand. Anyway, you
Good
didn't
idea.
Know you signed up for all this coaching
no.
when you invited me.
No, I didn't. Can you come back? I could use more coaching.
Yeah, sure, right? Yeah, sure, sure. Great.
No, I would love to have you back. You've got so much to share. But what else do you think people need to know? Because this is a very different kind of a world now. I mean, we do have access to just tremendous resources on the Internet. We can be on the Internet. Look, I live in a village in southwest Louisiana. I drive a Range Rover. The minute Amazon can deliver 30 pounds of fresh crawfish and fresh lettuce to my house, that Range Rover is gone. I love my car. I do.
That's
I mean,
adorable.
I am moving up from introvert to hermit. I am closing that gap.
Yay!
Wait on Amazon.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, things are so, so different. I mean, 15 years ago,
yeah.
when I started this, I still had to have a job because there was just no way
yeah,
to do what
world.
I'm doing
yeah.
now. But I mean, just in short, in 10, 15 years, it's astonishing what
mm-hmm.
you can build if you just have, I guess, the intestinal fortitude to just say, this is what I believe, this is what I have to offer.
Well, that's my second point. So we talked about personality. I want to talk about owning your value. And then I want to talk about, because you referenced that entrepreneurial journey is kind of a spiritual path, so I want to wrap up with that.
Yes.
But
yeah.
but I think there is nothing more important, particularly if you're selling a service. You have to own your value. Like that is, you know, I teach people how to sell. That's one of my brilliances, if that's a word, because so many of us, particularly women over 40, particularly people that are service-based providers, have a horrible time at charging what they need, asking for that money, and then, like, standing there selling it. It just is a oof. I know it was for me, and most of my clients that are that services, you know, if you sell, like, a couch, there's profit margins and there's material
right.
costs. If you're selling, you know, insurance, it's a commodity. If you sell real estate, there's this, you get 3%. I mean, that's easy to sell because it's not about you. But when you are selling you as a service, even though, you know, you might sell I'm going to sell a website, but it's you who is delivering the service. You know what I mean? So when you're selling you as a provider, what happens is everything in you gets kicked up. And any old conditioning, any old beliefs, oh my goodness, like this is where I always say to people, money is lost or made right here in this own your value distinction. And so you have to understand, and you use the word value proposition, but I drill it down a little bit more. So I say, here's how you own your value. You basically make a list of what your client is suffering with or dealing with. So for me, I work with business owners who love what they do, but they don't necessarily know how to market themselves or don't like to market themselves and don't know how to get the clients or want to get better clients or more clients. You know, so I'm helping people grow their businesses. So what I can say is, okay, here you are and you're suffering from you don't have enough clients, you don't have the right clients, you don't have enough money. So we make a list of the top-level problems, and then we go deeper with that. Well, and then what is that costing you? Well, then maybe you're starting to doubt yourself. So we have the tangible and the intangible. I make my clients list 30. What are their problems? Tangible problems, intangible problems. And then the next one, and this is huge, what's the cost of those? Any business can do this. So I'm giving you my formula, right? What's the cost? Now, I will say, let's just take, because I work with a lot of, you know, coaches or people that are selling their services. If you don't learn what I'm going to teach you, it will take you to 3 to 5 years longer to get where I could take you, and you'll be making investments that are really bad. So not only will you waste money, you'll lose money, you're going to be making investments. Like, for example, I had a woman who was going to come on a retreat with me. Now, she has a full-time job, and she was just dabbling in starting her business. So she came to my retreat, and she was going to hire me for coaching. When she got to my retreat, she said, shoot, you know what I did? I hired a copywriter. I paid her $1,500, and I'm like, you don't even have a business. Why would you need a copywriter?
Yeah, well,
that's what
that
I mean. But
yeah, why?
That happens all the time because somebody, you know, they get seduced by marketing, so they're either like, oh, I bought this fancy branding package. Well, you don't have a business. Why are you, see what I mean? So there's either you're going to lose money or you're going to make investments that are not the right investments for where you are at the time. So I know in my bones the cost. I've been there. I have suffered from this. I know so well how much it costs, what they're going to lose, what the journey is, what the pain is. So I understand that. And then I know as I do my work, wow, the miracles that happen. I know, you know, when people flip through their mindset and can heal their money stuff, miracles happen. I know that. And so I understand the value based on if they work with me, this is what they're going to get. But if they don't work with me, what's another year of that going to be like? How much are you going to lose in it? See what I mean? So when you put
right.
it that way.
See, that's a distinction I hadn't thought of as part of the sale mm-hmm. process. I hadn't thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on
that's
me.
That's a really, really good one. Really good mm-hmm. one. So for you, I mean, you could do it either the VA thing or you could do it with the website thing. Like, what is the cost of having a crappy website? What is the cost of having, you know, not the right copy or whatever? You know what I mean? Just, and you don't want to just say, oh, I don't get much visibility. Okay, what's the cost of that? What does that mean? Well, how much do you think you potentially lose? I mean, like, you want to dial it down. Like, you want to just go deep. So people just, so whatever you're offering, like if I say it's going to be $5,000, it's like, it is a no-brainer because that's the value proposition. I can say, wow, if I spend $5,000 here, I won't lose $30,000 here. See how
right.
that goes?
I do. I actually have a client that I won't even tell you that story, but oh my gosh. I mm-hmm. took what two other people had done, completely got rid of it, rebuilt everything in 3 weeks. It had cost him mm-hmm. thousands upon thousands mm-hmm. upon thousands mm-hmm. of dollars for them just diddling with it. And I just said, no, we're starting fresh. And he is one of my best, he's like my evangelist. He's out there every day saying, you have to talk to Denise. But I saved
yeah,
him so
nice.
Much time and so much money by doing it.
There
right?
we go. There we go.
The first time.
Yeah, and so you could, Denise, that's such a great testimonial. If you would even quantify how much time did you save? Do you see what I mean? So you could say, okay, you spent X, but you wasted Y. And you know what I mean? Like the more you can tell those stories, like part of how I got here is I told you I started with a coaching company, and my very first client, like I had to have, this was my personal hell. They gave us leads. They gave us here's names. Just call them and offer them free sessions. My personal hell. I will never, ever, ever tell a client, not ever, to make a cold call.
No.
I just don't, right? Because back
no.
in the day, I'm like, hi, I'm Therese. Can I give you a coaching session? You know, I'm shaking in my boots trying to do it. So I think I give like 50 free sessions away. Nobody bought because I could coach, but I couldn't sell, right? So this one woman, her name was Diane. She had been riffed from her job as an executive, and so she was now a stay-at-home mom and didn't even have a business. And she thought it was a reasonable idea to spend, you know, at that time it was for that coaching company, like $600 a month or whatever, to start a business. So we went from zero business. In 3 years, she was a licensed landscaping contractor, and she was bringing in $300,000 a year. Now, that was flippin' amazing. I didn't know back then how really amazing that was. And so what I said to her, you know, as we were processing some of this, I said, Diane, what did I do? Like, this is how you earn your value and own it. You ask your clients. So I said, what did I do that was really important? Because I'm thinking I helped you start a business. I helped you with your marketing. I set up your newsletter. I helped you manage your teams. Like, I was looking at the tangible stuff, right? She said, I know that anybody that would have started on the same day with me, I'm 5 years ahead of where they are. You helped accelerate my results. And I had no idea I did that. because I was looking at the, see, I'm looking at the transactional, tangible things, like you got this, you got this, you got this. You know, I was checking off the boxes. But think about the intangible of saving 3 to 5 years of a learning curve. You bet
I
started owning my value and raising my rates because I was like, wow. So tip, ask your clients. And don't say, you know, what'd you get? Oh, I got a website. Okay. And because of that, then what'd you get? And then how did you feel? And you know what I mean? So you want to, like, drill really deep what it was that they got from you, because they might, you might think, well, I just gave them a that, and they're like, holy heck, she gave me a that. You know what I mean? So you want to really, really, really dial in and get super clear the tangible and intangible and the monetary value. Then you're going to be like, I got some game. I can sell this. So that's how you do that.
Right. And that's really brilliant. I mean, I think I probably did that just by trial and error. But I love that you're telling people to do this, because it's just so logical. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
not one of those
because
things
the
that
value
seems
thing
to be intuitive. Logic and intuition are not necessarily best friends.
They sometimes fight each other. But see, what happens is when you're dealing with this selling stuff and raising your rates or charging appropriately or owning your value, your mindset, I call them gremlins. All the little voices, and I share some of mine, like, who are you? You're not enough. You didn't do this. Like that is going to just eat you. They're going to eat you until you can go, shh, look, that client just, shh, be quiet. I got that, shh, be quiet. See what I mean? It's like, it's evidence to that part of you that is in disbelief and is going to, like, trying to keep you small and stuck and all that kind of stuff. So it's really good data to have. It's super good data to have. You want that data. So
basically you're saying when you're having these talks with yourself, these negative mind chatter, we all do it. I will catch myself saying to myself, Denise, really? If you were to say
that
to a friend or a loved one or a stranger on the street,
they
would knock you flat on your butt and you would have to take it. You would earn it. I mean, the way we talk to ourselves sometimes is so ugly.
Oh, it's horrible. Here's my metaphor, and I know you're a cat person, so I don't have any cat analogies because I love cats, but I don't have cat analogies because I have dogs. So imagine, you know, for dog owners, if somebody comes to your door, the dog is invariably going to start barking, usually, right? Or somebody's on the street, the dog starts barking, and
yeah,
it is designed to alert. Dogs they're wired to alert, right? But you don't, as dog owner, run upstairs, go under the covers, hide in the closet. You just go, shh, shh, go lay down, I got it. And yet, when our thoughts come, like, oh my God, what if, we act like it's gospel and sacred, and we're like, oh, you're right. And I always say, like, don't dance with that. Pretend it's just adorable little chihuahua, or in my case, pit bull, whatever you love, and they're just barking at you to alert you. But you don't back down. See, most of us hear those negative thoughts. So, Denise, sounds like you have a way to master it. So many people hear the negative thoughts, and it stops them in their tracks. They believe them. they get paralyzed because the thoughts just... So the work I do with people is the both. It's like, move some stuff. Oh, wait, hold on. These thoughts are coming? Okay, let's handle that. Now keep moving. Okay, more thoughts? Okay. And so my little dog analogy, people just tend to love that. They just love that because they're like, oh, you're right. I just answer the door. I tell the dog to shut up, and I answer the door. Okay, we'll do that with a little dog that is your thoughts, right?
And again, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it is, we do things that we don't even realize they're doing it because we've conditioned ourselves to our own misery, so to speak.
And
I learned a long time ago to shine that bright white light on myself, and let me tell you, honey, it's uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
But you have to be very honest with yourself. If you can't be, you're going to continue hitting those same walls. So just take a look, get it over with, and move on.
Or work later with a mindset coach that can help you. Because a lot of people can't do it on their own. That is true.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, I mean, you've shared a lot of information, and I'm really grateful for that, and I do want you to come back. But where do things, I mean, let's say that people are they're clocking along pretty good, and then they hit that imposter syndrome. Is that where things kind of break down? Or is it the money we're thinking? Because, look, we've all done it. We'll be moving right along. Business is doing good. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, crap. What happened?
Yeah, it's yes and yes and yes. Every time you reach a new level, Yeah. So, yes, money. Money, I think, is a hologram of all where your stuff lives. Money is the most exquisite teacher of what's in there. The way you're being with money, how you're receiving money, not receiving money, how you're handling money, how you're talking about money, your deal with money. Whew. I could just dig that, and I can, you know, much is there. The imposter syndrome happens when you get to a next level. So let's say you've made it here, and yet you have a vision of yourself going farther. You have a vision like, wait, I want to go, I want to double, I want to be here, I want to, well, it's kind of like oftentimes what got you to here, to this level, is going to flame out and is not going to take you to that next level. And that's where people experience. Like, I personally, because I'm that kind of a weirdo, I love when my clients start having breakdowns. I love when shit starts falling apart. I love, you know, because I'm like, right on. That's good. That is good. Because you kind of look at, like, nature, everything breaks down. You know, leaves fall, trees, you know, go dormant. There is that process. So you can't just go, I always say, it's not plug and play. It's not like, set it and forget it. It's, you know, it's okay, you're working on your stuff and you overcome things and you move through your mindset stuff and you're getting better, and then you get it, and then you're the part of you that is always evolving says, well, cool, let's go over there. And then there's like, oh God, over there, really? Ah, can I really do that? So let's say you're only charging, you know, let's say you're VA and you're charging $30 an hour, and you have some success there and you have clients, but you know in your soul maybe you should be in, you know, higher paid, maybe you should take on more responsibility, maybe you should be involved in the strategy or working closer, and maybe that's a $50 an hour gig. But every part in you is like, ah, who, me, what, really? Then you hit it again. So, see what I mean? So it's like, it's always like that working through those limiting beliefs. Because here's what I will say, Denise, if it is in you to do, you have to do it. Like, if you have the desire, that's where I say this is a spiritual journey, because if you have the desire, you're being led. And I had a prospective client call me yesterday, and she said, I want you to turn me into a CEO. I have all these things in my company. Show me how to be the CEO. And I said, it's not what you're doing, it's who you're being. You have to let go of the part of you that can't receive and doesn't trust and da 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 da. Like it's the both. Obviously, you work on the strategy and the skills. But for me, the most important part of the journey is who you're being. And you will be called to do stuff you don't like. You'll be called to be a leader and be, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like the stuff that's small and stuck in you is going to come up. So,
right.
Did that answer your question?
It does, actually. Listen, would you be willing to come back and talk about money, an entire hour about money? Because I think it's important. I mean, you said so many things about, you know, how we earn it, how we keep it, it's an energy. And I think so many of us, particularly in my arenas, the VA industry in particular, simply do not know how to bring in that money and to earn that money, to feel like that money is a value for them.
I'm happy to talk about money. Yes, yes. And I'm just looking at
good.
The chat, and I know the cat guy. I know that's my friend.
Yeah, you know
who
he is. Okay, I was like, that's our friend Adam.
Yep. That's our friend Adam. Yes,
that's right.
Yes, yes.
So anyway,
yeah. Yes, happy
what
to come back.
Good. What else should we say? We've only got a few minutes. What else is on your mind? Have we missed anything important?
You know, I have this thing called burn the ships, and you know, my friend Adam knows me really well. I've helped Adam burn some of his ships, I'm sure, in the past. But it will never work if you have a plan B. Now, that doesn't mean, like you said, you had a job in the beginning. I have no problem if people say, I'm going to work this job or I'm going to do this to fund that. But you can't say, if this doesn't work, I can always go back.
No, my plan was always to take my little computer science degree and do something with it. In fact, I was the only female in the graduating class.
Mm,
and I'm the only one that is working in her degree field, as far as I know. But not only was I working a job, I owned a business, actually. So I was working my own business. I was going to school at night. I was volunteering. And look, I had black eyes just from the bruises, just from lack of sleep. But it was one of the most rewarding times of my life. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
But
awesome.
I needed to
That's
do
awesome.
It. I was compelled, impelled, and driven
to
do it.
Yeah, see? There we go. and you didn't say, and so I don't want ever anybody to say, oh, well, wait, I need to, it's fine. You don't want to put yourself, there's too many coaches that would say, if you believed in yourself, you'd quit your job. And I think that's bullshit. That is terrible.
No.
So I think it's fine to have, you know, a funding source, if it's a job or a family, whatever is the funding source, because you can't create in scarcity. You know, that's the hardest part when you're creating a scarcity. But you always want to say, I will be unstoppable. I will go through the fire. Nothing will make me turn back. Like, if I'm doing it, I'm doing it. You have to find that fire in you that there is no other option but success. There is no option. So
I agree.
That's a really important option.
I will tell people, anybody who will listen, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to have a cast iron stomach. That doesn't
heck
mean
yeah.
We don't make mistakes. We make them every day. We fall down every day. We have, oh, crap on a stick moments every day,
mm-hmm,
sometimes
mm-hmm.
multiple days. Does it stop us? Nope. It doesn't even occur to me to the next day go find a job or do something different. I'm like,
there we go.
Lesson learned. Keep on moving.
Yes.
So, well, Grace, we are out of time. We're still streaming, but the chat room just lost us. Where can people find you on the web?
Happyinbusiness.com.
Go to
happyinbusiness.com. Yeah.
What a great name. Well, listen, thank you so much. I mean, you have been a tremendously great guest, and thank you for the coaching. I mean, seriously,
let me know how it goes.
Oh, I am rewriting my about page. My brain is just whirling around. It's crazy in there right now. But anyway,
thank you
again, and I definitely want you to come back. It's been wonderful chatting with you, and I know the audience enjoyed the takeaways and as much as I did and learned. So everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, maybe a little bit less. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Therese Scally. And I will see you next week. Therese, thank you.
Bye. Take care now. Take care.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.